Some people think Providence puts couples together for their own good. Other people think Providence is just a town in Rhode Island. Poor Jim didn't have an opinion. It was a warm spring Friday night in June 1998, and Jim and Bob were ambling out of the bar and down among the silent, hulking cars of the parking lot, singing snatches of A Wandering Minstrel Eye and other such incomparable nonsense, and enjoying themselves as only young men with few cares can do, when they spotted her sprawling in the driver's seat of an open yellow Jeep. And we do mean sprawling. She was mostly in, but not all the way in. Her body did not seem to know what all the way in was. Clearly, she was incapacitated. And this was almost as interesting as the fact that she appeared to be rather well put together. "Do you see what I see?" Bob said. A star, shining in the sky," Jim sang beerily. "No, over there, you idiot, the Jeep." "I'm not sure what I see," Jim said. "Is it real?"
"What are you, Bishop Barkley?" Bob said. "Of course it's real.
The real question is, what are we going to do about it?"
"I don't see why we have to do anything about it," Jim replied. "She appears to be having a nice nap."
"So I guess your cold, hard heart is not moved by the sight of a damsel in distress," his friend replied. "Well, I'm going over there and see if she's all right."
"Help yourself," Jim said in the full bloom of ambivalence, since he doubted that his friend's intentions were entirely pure.
Bob meandered in the general direction of the Jeep, but stopped when the mystery maiden raised herself up with a mighty effort and promptly slid out onto the pavement, whacking her head with a soft crack. The two men looked at each other in amazement. She was lying on her side with her face flat on the still warm blacktop, as if it were comforting somehow. Bob went to her, bent over, and touched her tentatively with his fingertips. "Are you all right?" he said. "Bug off," she barked in a disconcertingly commanding tone, waving him away with her free arm or attempting to. A moment later, she was sobbing. Then she mumbled something. "I'm sorry I didn't hear you," Bob said.
"I said take me home," she shouted, blue-faced.
"We'd be happy to, but we don't know where home is," he replied.
"You're home, then," she said, waving her free hand again with a dramatic flourish. She tried to raise herself up. She collapsed with a moan. She passed out cold.
Bob looked at Jim with wide eyes. Jim shook his head no.
"Come on, Bob Weedle, she told us to."
"We are not taking her home," Jim said. "That's kidnapping."
"No jury would convict you," Bob said, "at least not a jury of your peers. Besides, we have to do something. We can't just leave her lying here."
"Why not?" Jim said. "We found her lying here."
"Are you crazy?" his friend said. "A woman alone at night?"
"Oh, yes, it's very dangerous here in the middle of Westport," Jim said sarcastically. "She'll be lucky if Frederick and his band of merry rogues don't come along and abduct her." "Oh, wait."
"Come on," Bob said. "Be serious. She can't spend the night passed out on the bloody pavement."
"Okay, then why don't we put her back in the Jeep?" Jim said.
"You can see what that leads to," Bob replied. "Or worse, what if she tries to drive? She could kill somebody."
"Then that's their fault for going out at night," Jim said cheekily.
"Oh, come on. We have to do something."
"What did you have in mind other than calling the police?"
"The police," Bob said. "A fair maiden asks you for help and you send her to jail. It will go on her record."
"Okay, an ambulance then," Jim said.
"They'll charge her $1,000 for the ride," Bob said.
"Look, why are you being so dense about this? She told us what she wanted us to do. She can have my room."
"That's crazy," Jim said. "She doesn't even know what she's saying."
But then he had a brilliant idea.
"All right, let's do it. Help me get her into my car."
"Really?" Bob said.
"I thought that's what you wanted," Jim said.
"It's not what I want, it's what she wants."
Yeah, right. Let's just do it."
They could not get her to stand up. She was completely out. Finally, Jim picked her up and carried her to his Acura coupe. Maneuvering a completely limp body into the back seat was trickier than he realized. They accidentally whacked her head on the door. "Ow," she groaned before returning to the Shadowlands.
"Oops," Bob said.
Jim looked at the completely limp body in the back seat of his car and suddenly had a very bad feeling.